verses 24 through 34, and then 54, I believe, through 62. From the Gospel of Luke, "Now there was a dispute among them," that is, the disciples, "as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.' And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren.' But he said to him, 'Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death.' And then he said, 'I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me.'" Beginning in verse 54, "Having arrested him," Jesus, "they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a servant girl came, seeing him by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I don't know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow was with him. He is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And so Peter went out, and he wept bitterly." Now, many of you know that we have a little dog named Allie, and Allie usually is our church mascot. She's usually here. She's not here today. And I want to tell you a little story about Happy Allie and Sad Allie. I have a picture of Happy Allie. Happy Allie is on the left with her little miscreant friend on the right, mirror images of one another. And Allie's happy when she can play. She can be with her friends. Now here's a picture of Sad Allie. Wait for it. There it is. That's Sad Allie. So my story today is a story about how Allie became sad. The other day, Saturday morning, in fact, I was having to get up early. We needed to be here. We're going to be here on the property about 8 o'clock and work on the property for several hours. And I live 40 minutes away, so I needed to get up early, and I wanted to spend some time with the Lord before I left. So I got up pretty early, and Allie typically gets up with me. And so I bring her out into the kitchen and make sure, as I make my coffee, that she's settled and okay, and she doesn't need to go outside. When she needs to go outside, she rings a bell. on the back door, but she didn't ring the bell. So I thought, okay, we're good. And I didn't want to take her outside because I wanted all the time this few moments I had, because I had slept through my alarm a little bit, didn't have as much time as I'd hoped. So I took Allie and I carried her upstairs to my office, and I carry her because she is the queen, and stairs are literally beneath her. And I took her to my office and played with her for a moment or two, as we typically do. And then I gave her something to try to get treats out of so it would take her attention away from me while I could study and just pray a little bit before leaving the house. Well, at one point, about 25 minutes in or so, I went downstairs to get some coffee. And when I went downstairs, I left my office door open. And when I came back upstairs with my coffee, I saw that Allie had peed on the carpet, which she has not done in a long time. And I was quite upset by this. But Allie is not the kind of dog that obeys well, and we're guilty for not training her really well. So if any of you are dog trainers, we'd love to hear your story. And I wanted to catch her and, like, put her nose down, not in it, but by it, you know, say, no, no. But she wouldn't let me catch her, which was quite frustrating. And so I went and I got a treat, because she's not as smart as me. And she will come and sit when I have a treat in my hand. So she came and she sat and I gave her the treat. And I missed the part. This is a good part. Well, it's not a good part, it's a bad part, but I don't want to miss it. So when I went down, after I found that she had peed on the carpet, I went down to get the carpet cleaner and some paper towels so I could clean up the mess. When I came back upstairs, she had been in Dorothy's craft room. Don't tell Dorothy. And she did number two in Dorothy's craft room in more than one spot. And it was as if she was flipping her paw at me. And I was really angry at that point. So that's when I got the treat and tempted her to come and sit down. And when she sat down and I gave her the treat, I picked her up and scolded her and promptly put her down in her crate, which made her very sad. And my prayer time went from, oh, Lord, you're so good, I love you, Jesus, you're so great, to, oh, God, this smells terrible, this is a mess, oh, I'm so angry. That was my prayer time Saturday morning. So when I showed up here crabby, that's why. Sad Allie. I realized that it wasn't just Allie's fault, because I didn't want to take her out. After 8 hours of being not outside, you can imagine a little dog probably has to go outside, and I didn't want to do it. Regrets? I have a few, but too few to mention. I did what I needed to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. You all know that Frank Sinatra song, right? I did it my way. And I paid the penalty for doing it my way, which is true for all of us. True for all of us. I wonder if you remember your 12-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old self, maybe 42-year-old self, and I wonder if you have ever had any regrets about that young person, about that less than mature person. Maybe there's a regret or two. Do you remember some decisions you made that weren't just the best? some choices that maybe you had to pay for down the road? Do you ever regret? You see, because I bet in the story that we read that Peter had some regrets. Proud, proud Peter. Peter, the self-motivated one, the auspicious one. Peter, the one who was audacious and rash in his choices. And we just read about some of those choices. In the very week before Jesus was to hang on a cross, and Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be taken, and I'm going to be placed on a cross and be crucified. And yet 3 days later, I'll rise again from the grave. They knew it. They'd heard it more than twice, three or more times from Jesus' lips, that this was going to happen. And yet the very week of Jesus' passion, after he had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey as prophesied by Zechariah, to the praises of the people who laid the palm branches on the road, laid their cloaks in honor and respect on the road, hailing him as king of the Jews. We read the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. And you know Peter was like, hey, he told me I'm going to be the leader of the church. I'm obviously the greatest among us. Arguing about who's the greatest. And then he swore to Jesus to be faithful unto death. He swore to Jesus that I'm ready to follow you to prison and to death. And he fell asleep in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane so that Jesus had to wake him and his friends up. In that same garden, he showed off his poor swordsmanship as he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Nobody had ever told Peter how to use a sword, evidently. He cursed, swore that he did not know Jesus, denied the Lord three times. Imagine seeing Jesus gaze at Peter in that courtyard. After his repeated failures, recognizing that everything that Jesus had said and told him had come true, and Jesus looked at him, you know he had regrets. You know who else had regrets? Is Judas. Except that Judas' regret drove him to the grave, while Peter's regret drove him to the cross. If you are of the sort who thinks that you can fix you, you're in trouble. You're already in trouble. Whether you're a believer in Christ or a non-believer in Christ, if you think you can fix you, you're in trouble. Because not one of us has the strength. Not one of us has the ability. Because of the giant inside, we cannot do it. And imagine the disciples in that night while Jesus agonized in the garden and he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation, and yet they fell asleep in prayer. Vince Lombardi famously said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. It's true. And I think it's one of the enemy's greatest tools is fatigue, especially in our world today. Anybody ever get tired? fatigue will make a coward of us. So Peter, no doubt, though he acted cowardly, did so in exhaustion. And yet we have this amazing passage. And I want to read to you part of this passage in John chapter 21. You don't have it on the screen, but I want you to understand how Jesus treated Peter after his repeated failures. After the resurrection, after all the disciples had already seen Jesus in his resurrected body, they were by the Sea of Galilee. Some of you remember the story. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Nothing to do. The Lord's gone. Who knows what's going to happen now? I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I've always known. And Jesus finds them there at the shore of the lake. And he pulls Peter aside, and John chapter 21 records their conversation, beginning in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Simon said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He spoke this, signifying the death with which he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. For every denial, there was an invitation to return to the circle of God's love. As much regret as Peter must have held in his heart, Jesus said, that won't do. You can't rely on you. You must rely on me. And I receive you to myself. Years later, more than 20 years later, and by the way, you do need to know this, that Peter, at the end of his days, was crucified on a cross, but said he did not deserve the honor of dying in the way that his Lord did. So rather than crucify him right side up, he asked to be crucified upside down. And that was Peter's homegoing. What changes a man? What grace changes a person like that? Listen to what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning the second half of that verse 5. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever. What changed an impetuous, proud man like Peter into a man who could say to others, humble yourself under the almighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He will himself, this passage says, establish, settle, confirm you. Except what? After you suffer a little while. We don't like that part of the verse. Lord, I want to be established, settled, and confirmed, and made strong. And he says, okay, suffer a little while. It just means a little while. Just a little while. Just 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Just a little while. It's nothing. Can we not endure the sufferings of this short life that we live? Look around you. We have youth and we have maturity. I count myself among the mature, at least age-wise. And yet all of us have experienced sufferings in this life. Anybody not suffered in this life? I don't see any hands. After you've suffered a little while, he himself, God himself, will establish, strengthen, settle, and confirm you. He'll make you strong. Why? Because he loves you, and he loves me, and he will not leave us the same. We come to him immature, we leave mature if we submit and surrender and walk humbly with our God. Years ago, true story, years ago, there was an officer, a parking control officer in L.A. County, California. He found a Cadillac Eldorado, a brown Cadillac Eldorado, parked illegally. So he dutifully got out his ticket and wrote out the ticket. It was only $30 at that time. It was a while ago. Can you imagine? Now it'd be like $300. He dutifully wrote out the ticket, and he walked to the driver's side of the automobile, and he placed the ticket through the open window on the dashboard in front of the driver. And the driver made no objection, made no excuse. They remained silent. They never even made eye contact. And that ticket never got paid because the driver was dead, murdered by a bullet through the head, and the parking control officer never even took the time to pay attention but put the citation, the offense, in front of the dead man. And I wonder how many of us have been guilty of not paying enough attention to others so that all we're showing them is their offenses. Here's your offenses. Here's your list of things that you're doing wrong in life. Here's what it's going to cost you. Is that who we are? As Christ followers, is that who God is? I tell you, God never puts the offenses in front of his child because he paid the cost for that offense. It's paid for in full. Your citation is marked paid in full by the blood of Christ. We have a lot of people today living with offenses in front of them, living with regret, with seeing their offenses in front of them. And they think that I can't come to God with these offenses. I cannot come to God in my present state. I've got to do it my way. If that's you today, God's inviting you to another way. He's inviting you today to a humble way, a surrendered way, the way of truth, the way of life, the way of a renewed life, a surrendered life. You may be a believer in this place this morning and have a relationship with Jesus, but if all you see are your offenses and you feel that I cannot come to God with these offenses, I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to get right. And then maybe I'll come to Jesus. No, you're doing it your way. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you've never been transformed by His Spirit, never indwelt by His Spirit, never having been forgiven and forgiven yourself, He's inviting you this morning to come. To come and receive freely of the waters of life. He says, I'm taking your offense. I've paid for it. It's gone. You don't need to pay for it. Just come to me, you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me, and we're going to pray. And I want to invite you, if God has spoken to you this morning, if you've heard something that's breaking your heart or making you feel that God is speaking truth to your soul, then I want to invite you to repent of that. Whatever that thing is, whatever that offense is that you see, whatever that hardship, whatever that suffering is that's keeping you away from Jesus this morning, lay it down. He's calling you. He's calling you, inviting you to a journey. He's calling you to a higher truth. He's calling you to maturity. But you must surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to repeat after me a prayer, whatever is applicable to you. And then I'm going to ask two things of those of you who pray, but let's pray. If you're a believer in this place this morning, you've been indwelt by Jesus' Spirit, you've repented of your sin, but you're holding something, an offense, either against someone or against you. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for keeping this offense before my eyes. Heal me, Lord. Forgive me. Enable me to follow you close and not at a distance anymore. To live with no regret. And if you're not a believer in this place this morning, you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you have an opportunity today in this moment to change everything, to change your eternal destiny, to change tomorrow. You could say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I believe in you. I confess you as Lord. Please come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Save my soul. And set me on a path of understanding, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. Close beside you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.